But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with how Morning Joe fucked around and found out. Move on to Republican Nancy Mace's bathroom crusade and follow all of that up with a look at what fresh hell will replace the Department of Education. Let's begin, shall we? Poet and author Maya Angelou was great for a lot of reasons, and one of them was the things that she said. Like, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. I love this quote. And anyone who knows me hears me repeat it quite often because I think it perfectly conveys the wisdom we need to avoid fucking around so we don't find out. Unfortunately, not everyone can take a hint. For example, the married hosts of MSNBC's Morning Joe, Mika and Joe Scarborough, thought it would be a swell idea to take a trip down to the Moldy Oranges retirement home in Florida for some ring kissing. And tell the audience all about it. Roll tape.
Over the past week, Joe and I have heard from so many people, from political leaders to regular citizens, deeply dismayed by several of President-elect Trump's cabinet selections. We expressed our own concerns and said we would appreciate the opportunity to speak with the President-elect himself. Joe and I went to Mar-a-Lago to meet personally with President-elect Trump.
Now, we talked about a lot of issues, including abortion, mass deportation, threats of political retribution against political opponents and media outlets. We talked about that a good bit, that we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so.
What we did agree on was to restart communications. In this meeting, President Trump was interested in finding common ground with Democrats on some of the most divisive issues.
Really, Mika, is that what you tell yourself so you can sleep at night? You want everyone to believe that you and your husband went on a trip in your favorite private plane to reopen lines of communication with the fascist elect because he and the Dems have common ground you both want to explore. Do I have that right?
And for those asking why we would go speak to the president-elect during such fraught times, especially between us, I guess I would ask back, why wouldn't we? For nearly 80 million Americans, election denialism, public trials, and January 6th were not as important as the issues that moved them to send Donald Trump back to the White House with their vote. Joe and I realize it's time to do something different. And that starts with not only talking about Donald Trump, but also talking with him.
Oh, so you're after a piece of the 76.8 million megalodons who voted for the broke-ass billionaire and clearly aren't spending their mornings sipping on Folgers while listening to the two of you. And you know, that does make sense from a corporate media perspective when selling ad space on your show is how you can afford to take hypocritical trips to Florida in the first place. Not to mention, whatever intention you may have had in bending the knee, the result was a combination of instantaneously hemorrhaging viewers in the 18 to 55 demographic after your revelation, and the pearl-clutching tantrums of the right wing.
Joe and Mika are laying down their swords.
The most magnanimous thing any individual in America has done in a long
after
time.
They called him every name
for,
under the
for
sun.
For 3 years, they called him fascist Hitler every day.
Go fuck yourselves, you dishonest jokes of faux journalists. Which one was insincere? He's Hitler? Or now find a way of speaking to and working with Donald Trump. Which one was a lie?
So we benefit from this. Morning Joe is hemorrhaging viewers. This move was a survival for the show and a survival for them.
When Rachel Maddow shows up at Mar-a-Lago, can we make that a Fox News alert?
Well, if we can get a camera down there, we'll show it to you guys live.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, what do you expect? Chuckleheads gonna chuckle. And because of Mika and Joe's feckless need to remain relevant, they are offering their MSNBC show as a warm blanket for the Clementine Caligula, a willingness to become another voice, normalizing the candy orange douchebag, if you will. Or as Rachel Maddow explained on her show several weeks before any of this shit happened.
The free press needs to give the people of this country assurances that they will not become state TV, that they will stand and fight together. They will put aside rivalries and petty professional differences. They will stand and fight together as the free press, as the fourth estate, as an institution that is a pillar of our democracy, as these guys on the other side inevitably start picking off individual journalists, individual publishers, individual news organizations to try ultimately to turn us all into some American-accented version of RT.
And that, my friends, is where Grandpa Joe and Nana Mika got this whole thing wrong. First off, they should have stayed up past 9 p.m. to watch Rachel Maddow's show, which happens to air on the same network. Because if they had, they wouldn't have gotten their morning Metamucil all shaken up, thinking that their previous and extremely accurate fascistic descriptions of Genghis Khan could in any way be described as petty differences. And secondly, where these two boomers see an opportunity to gain viewership, Rachel clearly pointed out that is how we get state TV in the first place. Which is what Eric's dad wants anyway. Isn't that right, Sunny Houston, co-host of The View and media personality who is definitely on the correct side of history?
I don't think you need to sit down for 90 minutes at Mar-a-Lago and kiss his ring to be able to speak truth and to be able to cover a story. So maybe they're not journalists in the true sense. Maybe they're saying that they're opinion journalists. But we have to remember that Trump is the guy who ushered in the era of fake news.
And Mika and Joe have just ushered in the era of corporate media willing to become fake news for Fat Nixon, in exchange, of course, for hopefully not getting dragged by the pathetic excuse for an incoming administration. They say everyone has a price, and apparently Morning Joe can be made to bend the knee at the threat of losing ratings, which they happen to be. But hey, no one ever accused the cowardly of having the foresight to think things all the way through. And while we're on the subject of opportunists that never let a crisis that they manufactured go to waste, the electoral embarrassment of South Carolina's 1st District and self-proclaimed defender of the bathroom, Nancy Mace, did this ahead of the newly elected Congress that will be sworn in on January 3rd.
The first openly transgender member of Congress is now a target. South Carolina's Nancy Mace started the move to keep all trans lawmakers and their staff from using facilities that don't correspond to their biological sex.
Her effort to ban transgender women from using female bathrooms at the U.S. Capitol is a direct response to the election of Sarah McBride, who is set to be the first openly transgender person in Congress.
Yes, and absolutely, and then some. I'm not going to stand for a man, if someone with a penis is in the women's locker room.
But should legislation be created targeted at one specific person?
It doesn't mention anyone in the legislation, but
you've said it was aimed at her.
I have said it's a result of this. I'm a survivor of rape. I'm a survivor of sexual abuse.
Sarah McBride doesn't get a say. I mean, this is a biological man.
Democratic Congresswoman-elect Sarah McBride will be sworn in January. She responded in a post on social media. She writes this, quote, "This is a blatant attempt from far right-wing extremists to distract from the fact that they have no real solutions to what Americans are facing. We should be focused on bringing down the cost of housing, health care, and child care, not manufacturing culture wars. Delawareans sent me here to make the American dream more affordable and accessible, and that's what I'm focused on."
Because Sarah McBride understood the assignment, unlike the Karen known as Nancy. This pearl-clutching survivor of sexual assault recognized a reason to grift her supporters for money and went full Gone with the Wind over a trans woman needing to use the bathroom. And not for nothing, but as a survivor of rape myself, It never occurred to me to use that horrific experience to justify dehumanizing another human being. But then again, I'm not a high school dropout who worked at the Waffle House to make ends meet before being sent to a military college and ending up as a real estate agent prior to being elected to Congress. Meanwhile, for Sarah McBride, it's just about avoiding a UTI and braving the fear of physical harassment for needing to urinate. While for Nancy the Tantrum, it's all about her Christian nationalist definition of what a woman is, and everyone who doesn't fit that description can go pee somewhere else. Which falls in line with what the fuck happened to Speaker Small Johnson, who did an about-face on this very issue within 24 hours.
I'm not going to address the plans on any of that. I just told you what I'm going to say about the issue. I'm not going to engage in this. We don't look down upon anyone. We treat everybody with dignity and respect. That's a principle that I pursued my whole life. And we will take care of this, you know, issue of first impression for Congress, as we will any other thing. We'll provide appropriate accommodation for every member of Congress.
One day later.
That opened the door to House Speaker Mike Johnson to issue a new policy that states that restrooms, changing rooms, and locker rooms are reserved for individuals of that biological sex.
We have single-sex facilities for a reason.
A man is a man, and a woman is a woman, and a man cannot become a woman.
Well, duh, Mikey. No one is saying a man can become a woman. That is your failing high school science showing, because a trans person is not becoming something else. They are who they are. See, contrary to the ignorant Christian's belief system, scientific facts like a trans woman's brain has a longer androgen receptor that reduces the effectiveness of testosterone and thinner cortical regions in the right hemisphere of their brains are the same as biological women's brains, leads any person with the ability to comprehend human anatomy's imperfect way of creating a human body to deduce that Sarah McBride is in fact a woman and has been from the start and will not be changing from one thing to another. But this was never about facts, was it? Nothing about these Humperdew-worshipping troglodytes has to do with facts, even when getting to the facts are as simple as a Google search for Madonna's Like a Prayer. And if you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, this week in Christians Are Really That Stupid News. Have you ever wondered what 100 or so Gen Z Bible thumpers would sound like singing a song about giving Jesus head? Well, today is your lucky day. Roll tape. And that right there is why teaching accurate history to the next generation is so ever fucking important. Because you clearly can't trust the first generation born under the internet's eye to look up the lyrics to a 35-year-old song about Haktua before they film themselves singing that very song about fellatio in a church. And don't even get me started on the video for Like a Prayer, where Madonna has sex with a black Jesus that none of these Bronze Age mythologists bother to watch. But either way, thanks. Thanks for the laughs. And while we're on the subject of what can go hilariously wrong when you are poorly educated, a few weeks ago, the name Lauren Boebert was being floated around as Jabba the Gut's pick to head the Department of Education, which is funny. And that's because this is a high school dropout, teenage mom, who only got her GED after taking the test four times because she couldn't get into Congress back in 2020 without it. So you can understand why appointing a woman who waited 16 years to sort of complete high school was the funniest person to run the Department of Education, because the lumbering lardass said repeatedly he was going to shut the place down anyway. But alas, Boebert was not chosen. Instead, Mine Incompetent chose someone way more underqualified and terrifying, to say the least.
And another high-profile pick, Trump choosing longtime ally and former wrestling executive Linda McMahon to run the education department.
Trump has also picked major Republican donor and former pro wrestling executive who is helping with his transition, Linda McMahon, for education secretary.
But as the head of the Department of Education, she'd be overseeing federal policies that impact millions of students. And the Department of Education also handles investigations into how schools are handling these sexual misconduct allegations. So this lawsuit alleges that Linda McMahon and her husband, who are co-founders of WWE, that they created a culture of fostering and tolerating alleged sexual abuse against underage ring boys. And the lawsuit alleges that they failed to act when these allegations came to light in the 1990s.
That's right, parents. Linda McMahon, a woman who has zero experience in education, never having taught a class herself, and I'm assuming skipped out on chaperoning either of her children's field trips just to stay away from school-age children in general, has now been chosen to oversee the closing down of the Department of Education. Because of course she has. But what makes Linda such a disgusting pick is that she joins the alleged hotel room rapist Pete Hegseth, and no longer an option, Matt Gaetz, because he likes 17-year-olds having sex with them, giving them drugs, and taking them to orgies across state lines, as another member of the sexual predator section of the Trump administration. So for those of you in the back, in the 1980s, WWE was all the rage. And apparently, so was hiring 13 to 15-year-old boys to help an accused pedophile employee and ringside announcer for the McMahons with setting up and taking down props for each show. And just like any depraved asshole in television, McMahon's announcer filmed his locker room rape sessions with the ring boys, which wasn't an issue for his bosses, because according to the lawsuit brought by the victims, the McMahons not only knew about it, they, quote, fostered the WWE's rampant culture of sexual abuse. I guess being part of an organization that allows pedophiles to pedophile all over teenage boys and provides the victims to the pedophiles themselves was all the Floridian fondler needed to know when he was deciding who was going to run the soon not to be the Department of Education. And that's according to Project 2025.
We're looking at Chapter 11, which is the Department of Education. Long list of radical action to reshape this country's education system, dismantle the Department of Education, end the Head Start program for young children in poverty, end the Title I funding for schools serving low-income children, rescind federal civil rights protections for LGBTQ plus students. Undercut federal capacity to enforce civil rights law, reduce federal funding for students with disabilities, and remove guardrails designed to ensure that these children are adequately served by schools. Privatize the federal student loan portfolio and end student loan forgiveness, and promote universal private school choice.
Oh, man. And you thought it was bad when you heard the Oklahoma State Superintendent just mandated Christian Bibles be available in every classroom and that his prayer for the presidents be shown to every student in the state. Oh, and how about Louisiana deciding that the Ten Commandments should be on display in all of their classrooms? Oh, and don't forget, Texas recently told every school in their state that they can get an extra $60 per student if they add Christian Bible study to their curriculum. Oh man, that sucks. Not to mention a major violation of the separation of church and state, but Wait till you get a hold of what Project 2025 wants to do to American children's access to education. Because it's not just about the revisionist history of white nationalists and the mythology that America is a Christian nation about to be shoved down all of our kids' throats for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. They want to make sure that only certain children get an education.
Project 2025.
Project 2025.
Project 2025.
Privatize public education. They want to allow discrimination.
Get rid of all the things that we use and that we've done since Lyndon B. Johnson to level the playing field.
At the core of Project 2025's education policy is to eliminate the Department of Education. That would eliminate Title I, which is a source of hundreds of millions of dollars of funding for low-income and underserved communities to get better education.
Schools are creating that ladder of opportunity that kids climb up.
And that's something that I think in the end, it doesn't leave our children prepared for the jobs of the 21st century.
Well, that all depends on what job you're talking about. Project 2025 aims to separate the poor from the rich and the white from everyone else. And by getting rid of Title I, schools will no longer have the funding to educate and take care of children with special needs, so those kids will have to be redirected to learn a skill that benefits, of course, corporations or the military.
Buried deep within Project 2025. They want to mandate that all students in schools receiving federal funding must complete the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery. That's a military entrance exam. If you flip to page 134, and I quote, to improve military recruiters' access to secondary schools and require the completion of the Armed Services and Vocational Aptitude Battery, the military entrance examination, by all students in schools that receive federal funding. And guess who would be exempt from that requirement since they don't get federal funds? Private school kids.
Because when you're recruiting the future members of the United States military, you want to make sure that you don't accidentally include one of the kids of your favorite donor. And the best way to do this is to separate the rich kids from the rest of the taxpayer. Did I say that correctly? Why, yes, I did. They want to separate kids in public schools from taxpayer money in the form of school vouchers. This way, your rich friends can save thousands of dollars a year in private school tuition while simultaneously defunding public schools so they become a breeding ground for trades workers and the military infantry. And while that move completely reshapes the trajectory of American innovation, it also removes the snowball's chance in hell that any non-rich kids have in living a life that is not bogged down by poverty. Or as Randy Weingarten, the head of the American Federation of Teachers, terrifyingly explained.
We have to create a ladder of opportunity for all kids. That includes kids with special needs, that includes kids who are poor, kids who are middle class, kids who are rich. And what Project 2025 does, it basically says, if you are already in a family that has means, fine, you're going to have a lot of choices. Everybody else, we're defunding public schools and we're giving money to private schools or to religious schools, but private schools that then hike up the tuition. So it essentially means that only the rich can have those choices.
Because that is the point. Project 2025 is the white nationalist answer to ensuring that the pasty spawn of the wealthy get all the opportunities. And that's it. Everyone else's kid can learn how to fix shit or mow a lawn or flip a burger. And if that's not good enough, those poor kids can be recruited to the military where the GI Bill has been revoked. Because there's no fucking way those non-rich kids are going to get into an Ivy League college on the taxpayer's dime. Oh, and don't forget, while Project 2025 is reserving education for whiny Nepo babies, the Overbron Scored has plans to take care of problems that equality and equity has created since the 1960s, specifically in regards to the concept of reparations. Just not the way that you think.
Furthermore, I will direct the Department of Justice to pursue federal civil rights cases against schools that continue to engage in racial discrimination and schools that persist in explicit unlawful discrimination under the guise of equity will not only have their endowments taxed, but through budget reconciliation, I will advance a measure to have them fined up to the entire amount of their endowment. A portion of the seized funds will then be used as restitution for victims of these illegal and unjust policies, policies that hurt our country so badly.
Yes, you heard Payless Putin correctly. Schindler is planning on having white families receive reparations for the pain and suffering of being all out in the open with their racism has caused. Schools that uphold punishments against little bigots following their parents' bad example would have their federal funding redirected right into the pockets of the assholes who started this shit in the first place. Parents who are upset that little Susie or Billy saw pictures in history books of their grandparents who threw things and screamed obscenities at black children who were just trying to go to desegregated schools in the 1960s could have an opportunity to get an untold amount of money dumped into their bank accounts thanks to the privilege of being white in America. Which will probably come in handy now that Walmart and Lowe's and other corporations are signaling they're going to be raising their prices because of the economic stupidity of the right-wing Wonder Boys fan base. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms such as Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. We're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, basically wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.